So what I learned today is this is really, goddamn, it's like we do these podcasts, but everything we talk about is like the culmination of all of this like serendipitous shit that happens all the time. It's really fucking weird. Do a podcast. You'll figure out what I'm talking about.
Once
it's
you like, get to episode 97.
Unless what?
It's like we can't talk anymore unless you're fucking recording.
Fucking or recording? Because I think we should probably only be talking during one
of those. No, it's an adjective.
Oh, an additive.
An additive, like fluoride right, in water.
Okay, so... First off... So, I've been very public about my dislike of, well...
Hi, this is Sitsock, everybody.
Kendrick.
And I'm the other guy. Kyle.
Whoa!
A few raindrops and people start fucking flipping their shit.
That seemed very bumpy for a minute there.
Oh, your car. I thought you were talking about that person pulling out.
Oh, no. I was like my shocks were being a little weird. So anyway, Sitsock, everybody.
Hi.
Kyle.
Hi.
Kendrick.
Hi. We did that.
Yeah, no, I'm catching up here.
You know what the best part about being stuck in a time loop is?
No, what's the best part? Anyway,
this person's genuinely confused about
their
life and the way things are going.
Fucking California.
Do I even... Oh, they're like texting.
They're either texting or GPSing.
So Kendrick is a...
I have been very vocal about my hatred of trailers. Right? Movie trailers anger and frustrate me. I feel like they serve no real good purpose, at least when I watch them, and I intrinsically I think that there's some issues with the format, the medium of the movie trailer.
I think they just get me excited for a movie.
Well, I guess my whole thing is, from a logical, like, conclusion standpoint...
Taking Retro to its logical conclusion.
If you have to watch... the scenario in which a movie trailer has an impact is specifically a movie you have heard of enough to watch the trailer, but not enough to have an opinion on yet.
I feel like you just don't watch trailers like other people do.
Well, so the reason I don't like trailers is I've been burned by them too many times, where they either contextualize a movie or a scene in a way that isn't how the movie or a scene goes, or in a misleading sense, right? Or... they spoil the best part, or I guess that's really it. They're misleading or spoiling. So they either make you think a movie is something it isn't, or they show you exactly what it is.
Okay.
And that, just for me, I just don't enjoy it. So the other part is, most movies that I would go out, and again, when I watch trailers before a movie I'm already going to watch, I don't, like, close my eyes and leave. But... I don't actively go out and watch trailers, because for me, if I'm going to go watch a trailer for a movie, then it means I'm probably already interested enough to go see the movie. And if I'm not going to watch a movie, the trailer doesn't usually... I've not had a situation where the trailer changed my decision.
Oh, I think you're thinking about it very pragmatically. Like, you would go to see a trailer to see if you wanted to see a movie, but then you generally don't see trailers because they usually ruin the movie. Therefore,
right. I'm looking at it from a purely pragmatic
and
sense.
A lot of people watch trailers for entertainment, like they're small movies. Some people will sit there on like their Friday night, or their like downtime consists of sitting there and going through YouTube and watching trailers. Like Dalton and I used to do it a lot. We used to sit on the phone together and watch horror movie trailers for like 2 hours because we wanted to see what was coming out, what was new, who the directors were. Like, just kind of, it's part of the milieu that you're in, is to go watch trailers and be like, the person who knows the most about what's going on, who's seen the trailer. So, there's that aspect of it, like, keeping you up to date on what's coming out. Then there's the aspect of, like, the marketing side, where it gets people generally excited. So, like, and when I watch a trailer of something that, even though I know I'm going to go see Star Wars The Last Jedi, I like watching a trailer for it because I get to see new exciting things and I get to start to think about things in my head and speculate and be like, oh, who's that new character? Like, I wonder anything. Like, I'm interested in trying to dig into that stuff and know more of the lore. So from when I watch it, I get excited because I start seeing new things. Like, even if it is, like, if it contains things that are effectively spoiling the movie for me, I don't really mind.
Or if it contains scenes that aren't in the movie.
That doesn't really bother me as much as it seems to bother other people, but... I definitely think they should at least... I think they should include those at some point for the people who do think that that's stupid and are offended by that.
Well, like the famous Rogue One TIE Fighter. on the top of the radar dish scene.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really cool thing that never appeared in the movie and never would have appeared in the movie. Like, made no sense.
And so what I learned today is this is really, goddamn, it's like, we do these podcasts, but everything we talk about is like the culmination of all of this like serendipitous shit that happens all the time. It's really fucking weird. Do a podcast. You'll figure out what I'm talking about.
Once
it's
you get to episode 97, which is, I think, this
it's
one.
It's like when you buy a car and you start seeing other cars around. Like, today I read it.
Go ahead. But I want to mention, before that, I said go ahead and start talking. I've started reaching the point now where when I throw around a number out for the episode, I'm actually been right more often than wrong. So this, I hope this is actually number 97, because I think it might be.
Awesome. So I read an article today about how Chris Vaughn, I think his name is, the guy who directed Kingsman, is actually pissed off at the people who did the trailer for Kingsman, because you weren't supposed to know that one of the characters wasn't actually dead.
Yeah, see, one. That's the kind of shit that makes me mad.
And that's a part of that whole thing you're talking about with trailers not being included, scenes in the trailer not being in the movie, and vice versa, and things like that, yeah. Where you're having spoilers, because the directors either choose not to or don't always get to be involved in the marketing process for the movie,
right.
And a lot of directors should be. Like, J.J. Abrams, I think, is really big into that, so...
Well, and I think it's one of those things where it didn't used to be this way. I feel like it didn't used to be so annoying, but it's been, like, the last 10 years or so has been reached a point where those trailers piss me off. And I think it's the big disconnect. It's the people who write trailers and edit trailers are trying to sell toys.
They don't write them for you. They write them for people who like shiny new things.
They're trying to sell toys.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
Why did BB-8 figure so prominently in the trailers for Star Wars?
I don't think they're just trying to sell the movie. Like, you don't even have to put
it
into context.
Right, but I mean,
like,
BB-8 is not... I mean, he's a character in that movie.
Jar Jar, BB-8, Ewoks, Jawas, all that shit is there.
And what I'm saying is, they were selling BB-8 toys for months before the movie came out, right? That was their big toy.
They did that with Force Friday. They're selling, like, BB-8 or whatever his name is.
And they're doing all the new ones, right? Yeah. So, my whole point is, we don't know who those characters are unless we see them in the trailer, right? So, why did they put them in the trailer? To sell fucking toys. Like, it's a marketing push more than it is an artistic expression.
But
that's what bugs me.
It still gives people who want to see some insight into the movie.
It does, and I'm not saying we should ban them. I'm just saying I hate them.
I know, I'm trying to express as someone who does enjoy watching trailers.
Sure, and
why
some people enjoy buying all the toys,
mm-hmm.
And some people enjoy reading spoilery reviews before they go see movies. Right? That
and
doesn't mean I don't want to do all those things.
I know that I'm not saying that. I'm just.
It just
more
means those
of
people
like
are morally reprehensible.
Okay.
And they're the first against the wall when
there
the revolution comes.
Okay.
There. Now you understand.
So you're going to change, right? Because you want to be you want to like get in, right? You want to be like the sleeper cell who then betrays everybody at the end.
No,
so you're going to start watching trailers.
Walk in, guns blazing.
Okay. I guess I'm just trying to express why, to the listeners, someone would be interested in a trailer as a counterpoint to your point.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Now, I do agree with you on certain trailers I've seen. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't even need to watch this movie now. Like, why did you even... The best one I can think of is the Britannic skit for the best movie of the year one, where they, like, go through everything and... They're talking about all these movie tropes, like dramatic scene where a character realizes his flaws, and they don't actually say anything. They just do that kind
of... describing it.
Yeah, describing it, which is the funniest thing, because that's basically what movie trailers are. They're just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. I don't know. So the trailer thing came up because you're talking about Punisher.
Yeah, because So Kendrick did say before we got in the car, which I don't know why he didn't wait. It's like someone was talking to him about it. Oh, fucking assholes. But the trailers for the Netflix Marvel series have always been very high quality. And the trailers for, like, Borderlands, the video game, have always been really great.
Oh, that's a whole other world, right?
I know, that's what I mean. Like, when we move away from movies, even so slightly as saying a TV series.
Right.
Like, a TV series trailer,
for some
like,
reason,
for Netflix,
they're just not spoilery as much. And they don't usually include scenes that weren't in it, because they don't have the budget to make more scenes that they didn't use, right? And they don't...
And it's just more scenes.
Well, and I feel like because maybe they have more to do, there's a lower chance of them putting something that's a spoiler,
mm-hmm.
You know? But I also think that it's a different approach because when they're making Star Wars, I don't want to pick on it because the trailers were well put together for Star Wars, which is why I don't like shitting on it because the Star Wars trailers were actually
you can use
pretty
a different
good.
One if you
but
want.
I'm going to use it just because they are guilty of this because those were to drum up interest, like you said, But what does that mean? What does it mean to get excited about a movie? Why do they care if you're excited? Because you're going to talk about it on social media, and because you're going to buy toys. Those are the two big things.
And other related things.
Well, yeah, paraphernalia, right? So,
contraband.
No, not well,
Star Wars contraband.
You buying that.
Cocaine shaped in BB-8 cubes.
Ecstasy pills that are shaped like Ray. Anyway, that would be weird. But so, in the world of the TV shows, there's less of the merchandising push.
Yeah, there's almost no merchandising for, like, Iron Fist and
those
kinds of Netflix shows.
There's no... It's a totally different method. Because when they want you to go see a movie, they want you to buy a ticket, go to the movie, right? But when you want to watch a TV show, it's a little more subtle. What they want you to do is change the channel.
Yeah.
For, 24 times over the next 24 weeks, right?
Or like, Netflix's or whatever. Case, yeah. Just know that it's coming
Netflix,
out on
which is
date.
Type in the name. And stare at it with your mouth open for 24 consecutive hours, right? Like, that's what they want. They want you to watch it. And so, for them, it seems like a different mentality. You know, the other one's like, here's a taste, come watch the movie, but it almost is more like, you've seen the thing, you're gonna watch the movie anyway. But we want I don't know what it is, but there's a subtle difference in the way it's marketed, right?
I almost talk about go watch the trailer more than I'm like, oh, are you excited for the show? Because I just like, the trailers are just... They're so well produced.
Some of the trailers that we see are very well done. Like, Star Wars trailers have a history of being beautiful, and video game trailers often have a history, because video games lose all their shit if you blow away the end of the story. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really annoying thing in a video game, spoiling the end of a story.
Also, I think there is almost a direct correlation to how bad a trailer is relative to how long a trailer is to the length of the entire story of the thing. So, like, you have a movie is about 2 hours, and the trailer is about 30 seconds to a minute, right?
Yep.
They're always going to be about 30 seconds to a minute.
Yep.
But when you start seeing that ratio go up or down, mm-hmm. it's closer to zero, you start seeing things where you're more excited and you don't care about, like, you're not as critical, I guess is what I would call you right now, about trailers, when you, like, know that you're not getting as much spoiled, almost.
Right.
Because you're, like, sitting there for a video game, there's, like, 40 hours of gameplay, and you're like, this
solid.
Looks really cool,
there's
and
no
I'm
way
not going
to
see any of this shit in the game, because it's going to be first person instead of...
Yeah, there's no way they could cram... Oh, video games have their whole other thing, where a lot of times it's a totally separate set of footage.
Like, cutscenes and stuff for trailers.
Or it's a totally separate narrative, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's that new... the new one that's coming out now that has a guy sounds like Nathan Fillion in it?
Destiny 2?
Yeah, Destiny 2. That's not in the video game. But that's a trailer for a video game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a whole different paradigm. There aren't very many movie trailers that are made up of footage that aren't in the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, which is like almost like kind of counter to what we said earlier, because we're kind of like, oh, well, it's stupid that you put stuff that's not in the movie in the trailer. But like, you almost want to build the trailer with things that aren't in the movie.
Well, and part of it is the way that in movies, the trope or the tradition is to make a trailer out of pieces of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you're doing... Video game, you know what it is more than anything else, I think, is the cultural implications, because movie trailers are traditionally shown in movie theaters,
mm-hmm.
whereas TV shows and video game ads are usually on television. So it's a totally different audience and a different mindset and a different methodology that maybe that's what things that figures into it. As a result, like, video game ads have their own tradition, right? A whole other completely different tradition of usually lying to your face, right? Like... Like, go back and watch some of the old, like, Super Mario Brothers commercials and stuff, and you're like, that doesn't look anything like this game. What are you selling?
And they used to do live-action commercials for a lot of video
and
games.
And it kind of harkens back to the old school of a pitchman, like, selling you shit
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, the movie trailer.
This person's dumb. Just accelerate your car and merge.
Yeah. They're going to get us all killed. Like that. Was that hard?
Apparently.
Mustang, I'm waiting for the Mustang to be like, oh, I gotta go over. Because, yep, there you go.
Okay. And it's gone.
Nope.
Jenna. Okay.
Nope, there you go. Had to wait till it
He's
was
on
illegal.
The phone. And
had to wait till it was
I'm sorry.
Illegal first.
They are on the phone?
Fuck them. I think it might actually come more from the different style of background. Ironically, the more cheesy historic ones seem to have become more artistic. And the more artistic ones seem to have become more cheesy.
So what do you think about... So there's a trailer. The trailer... Movies have trailers.
Yeah.
They can have multiple trailers. So you could have two different trailers. And that's a whole interesting thing, too. Because you might like one trailer over the other. Or you be like, why the fuck are we releasing even more footage from this thing, right? Because then you're increasing your minute to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And your ratio is going up.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? Like, now I have watched literally half the movie in footage or something like that.
All the high points of half the movie, yeah.
And there's also a teaser. So a teaser, what do you think about a teaser? Like, so if you aren't doing anything.
Define that one for me, because I've heard it used, but I want to talk about
it. A teaser is about a 10-second, like, thing that lets you know a movie's coming out soon. Like, and it's not a trailer because it doesn't actually show any footage usually. It shows, like, like maybe have some voices or just like a slow roll into like the logo because it's so familiar, like the Dawn of Justice, or not Dawn of Justice, but Batman vs Superman had a teaser where it just showed like a Batman or Superman's thing and then like BBS, Batman crushing into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Now where it's not footage from the movie, it's just something to like kind of be like, oh shit, did you remember this was coming out?
Because I like those because it's often the first time you hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's 100% like, oh my god, what? They're doing that? I like that.
That's what that's the feeling that, yeah, exactly.
You can't really fuck that up.
And I think teasers for me were really frustrating at first because I was like, I just want to see a fucking trailer. Why are you showing me this bullshit to get me excited?
No.
But now I kind of like teasers.
Having said my whole piece about trailers, and teasers, they have a place in the world, right? Trailers have a place in the world. And there are good trailers. Deadpool's trailer. Fine example. Loved that thing. Because what was Deadpool's trailer? Like a solid, what, 4 or 5 minutes of just the first bit of the movie?
Yeah.
And that movie lends itself
well,
to that.
Well, that was weird because that was also the like short that they did. Mm-hmm. But the new one has like that scene where he's in the phone booth, and that's a trailer that's not in the movie. They filmed that trailer.
Yeah.
Which is like cool.
And so both of those, I prefer that. But for me, it's like if you're going to have it, when you make it out of scenes from the movie and you make it look like it's scenes from the movie, and then you have some of these epic scenes, like the TIE fighter coming onto the dish, and you're like, wow, I wonder how she's going to get out of that one.
Yeah.
It makes you think that it's going to be in the movie. That's where it's misleading, right? But when they show you a scene.
They did do reshoots for that movie, to be fair, though. So, like, that's true. Movies that have reshoots could have that happen more often. But I'll let you finish.
It could, but I'd be. That's more than a reshoot, that's a rewrite.
That's generally what reshoots are.
Is I know, but that's a pretty substantial change. Because that means that they went all the way through to CG it all the way to completion.
No, that's like reshoots cost a ton of money because I know, you almost have to refilm things sometimes.
Well, you do have to refilm it, but I was more under the impression that they don't usually get to the finished stage when they call reshoots. That
they did that for Rogue One. They did it for. What did they do it for?
Suicide Squad, allegedly.
Suicide
did
Squad,
that,
yes.
I don't know for sure to what level they did it.
So I read it. There was another article about that today, I saw.
Well, there you go.
It was based off of that Vaughn article, though. So the Suicide trailer, Bohemian Rhapsody trailer, actually caused them to do research based on the reactions of people to the trailer.
That's what I'd heard. But then after watching that movie, I still can't figure out what they would have changed.
And this takes us into like a weird realm of things like the producer versus the director, because the producer wants to make money and the director wants to make art, theoretically. Let's say that that's the...
Yeah, ostensibly.
Ostensibly. And so that happens in lots of movies where like the Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds, that movie was a lot better before the producers got their hands on it. Same with Amazing Spider-Man 2. They cut footage and they took some of the stuff out that was telling the story and you end up with this piece of crap that looks really good in a trailer. Yeah. Like it's a trailer movie where you watch a trailer and you're like,
yeah, the whole movie exists to sell toys and video games.
Or rather, like, the movie was worse than the trailer because of the things that they cut from the movie.
Over here.
Good, because you need to be in that lane eventually.
I do. And this, when an opportunity arose. I would have had more of an opportunity, but this guy decided to just leave, like, 12 car lengths in front of
me. Well, I mean, you got to be safe, man.
I guess.
So,
you got to text.
What do you guys think about trailers? I mean, feel free to, like, you know, let us know if you've
like,
listened
comment,
to
subscribe.
It.
Tell us why we're done.
No, we're not. Yeah, oh, I thought you said tell us why we're done, and I was like, we're not done yet.
Tell us why we're dumb.
I know!
Like that person, who's dumb. You're dumb.
Kendrick's angry today.
I've been angry.
He's ornery. Like an ornery plane strider from World of Warcraft.
That's not true.
They're the first... Okay, I'm not going to go in there, but...
So, the other thing I was supposed to talk about today, remember we never even got to.
Magic?
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about it.
I remember why I don't like magic.
Why?
I suck at it.
Yeah, well, like, come on.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's that... I suck at the part. I don't enjoy the part I need to be better at to play the game.
Which is knowing your deck.
Which is building a deck.
You don't have to build it. You just have to know it. The deck's already built for you. Like, I'll build you a deck. Just learn how to play it.
That's the thing. It feels like that's a big part of the game.
Building or learning?
Building.
So, the thing I think you don't care for is actually knowing the card pool. Because you said yourself yesterday, I just need to, like, look at the cards in my deck to know what they do.
Well, right? I need to know that, but I also think I need to prune it. Because what happened yesterday was I had 3 cards in my hand after the first, third, or fourth turn that were all very high-level, powerful things. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have enough mana. I wasn't past enough turns to get enough mana.
You're getting into why I don't like Magic.
Well, and what got me was it felt like the stuff I could do for 6 mana was bullshit compared to the stuff that the other guy could do for 3 mana.
Yeah.
And it was like, how do I have the shitty cards?
And you're like, well, that's why you need to get part cards with Hexproof, because that's a green mechanic, but you're not going to get any of those in the decks you have.
Well,
I
was playing green, and none of them have that.
The green does. Hexproof is a green keyword, but you just don't have any cards in that starter deck that have it. So it's like, in any other set, they would have Hexproof cards, but you don't have Hexproof cards. But my reason that I dislike Magic so much is because of any other game that we've played, the resources are outside of the deck. Meaning, you get resources every turn from Arkham, right?
Right.
You click for money in Netrunner. Mm-hmm. You have things that are not taking up spaces in your deck to make you play cards.
Right.
And I don't feel like that's a challenging balance. That's a challenging thing that you do in Magic. I feel like it's a
pure luck.
Pure. It's lazy. It's like it's almost like they're telling you what 1/3 of your deck has to be. And whenever someone says something about, like, I can't believe they're doing X because it limits the card pool for the game, I'm like, your card pool is already limited because you can only put, like, you can only actually build 1/3 of your deck. Because it has to be land. Because if you don't have land, you can't play, right?
Yeah.
And so you come into these scenarios into Magic where you end up drawing lands for 3 turns in a row and you get mana flooded and you get fucked. Or you don't draw any land and then you can't play anything. And you're like, why am I playing this game again? Like,
yeah, and the thing that drove me particularly crazy with this game, actually, I think every game I've played in the last 4... We had a pretty good game, yes. But the main thing I ran into was that the thing that's fun about these and the where you learn is when you have decisions. And you have decision, you know, things that prompt decisions and behavior and options available to you, right? And the last game especially, less so the one game we played, but then the other ones than the other night, I did not have any decisions to make.
Yeah.
All of the stuff I did was the only thing available to me at that time, aside from nothing.
Yeah, and that's how I feel with these decks we're playing now, too. Like, you're not getting to make choices because they're so basic in, like, learning that you can't do anything besides play a card. Like, there's nothing to do but...
Well, and it wasn't even play a card. It was, I have one card in my hand I can play.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you boil it down, the only, like... In some of the other games we've played, again, there's more things to do than just play a card. Mm-hmm. You can attack something, which you can do in Magic if you have a creature. But in other games, you can just attack as a thing.
Right.
It's part of the game to let you do that, regardless of what you have on the board.
Well, and even in here, most of the times, at most situations, I couldn't attack. Or I could attack, but it would do me no good because his creatures had... some combination of things where it was I couldn't get through them. Either he had one guy who had so much defense I could not cut through it, or another guy was what was it? I could only hit him if I attacked him with 2 people. Or I don't remember. Like, all these rules he had in place, and it's like, so I at no point did I feel like I was learning anything, except that I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And he, at the same time, he wasn't really even playing with a whole lot of strategy. He was basically just top-decking the entire thing. So it was like, this just seems like we could have just sat down at the beginning and just turned cards over on the top and then see who won that way rather than
like
play
split your
game.
Decks in half, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's no point in playing at this point. It's like Candyland.
It definitely changes when you start building your own deck or playing decks that are actually built to work together.
Right,
instead
and
of
so
just
that's that part
together.
That was the part that I think for me, it wasn't necessarily like, oh, this is going to be terrible, I hate it. It's more like, I do not have the time to manage this game. Mm-hmm. Or interest or inclination to, like, manage it so that I can play it. And that was the part that was, like, it just wasn't worth it for me, right? So, and again, it's like, I could go and look up decks that do things and then buy cards and like, I could. Those are all within my power to do so.
That's why
Or I could do one of my 1,000 other hobbies.
Yeah,
that I was buying
that's
for
the
things, right?
That's the other problem is, like, I've made a conscious decision in my life to not play a few of the games I have because the games themselves are too complex for me to focus on when I want to play other things. So, like, there's a game called X-Wing, and it's a really cool dogfighting miniatures game, but I don't have the patience or time to learn the meta and, like, to have the not the meta, learn how the mechanics work well enough to be good at it.
Right. Right.
So I'm not going to play it anymore. Like, just like you decided, said, like, I don't want to learn all the interconnections and magic, so I'm not going to take the time to do this.
I don't think I even made the conscious decision to do it. I think it was just, like, the tasks that needed to be done before I could start playing the game more seriously or more frequently appeared as chores in my mind, mm-hmm. and things that just never got done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think... Maybe you should, well, my suggestions are try a different color and see if that changes anything, and stop playing a ROM. Name drop.
those are all things I could do, right?
Yeah. But, well, in the times that we play, but
yeah,
those are chores. So,
well, it's just every time you do something in life, you make a decision to not do something else, right?
Yeah.
And at no point did anything did those decisions trump my other choices.
Yeah.
Right. So that's basically all it is.
Net enjoyment, I guess, out of changing
things. Well, it's not even like a value judgment. It's just, what am I going to do today? I think I'll go play Heroes, or I'll go play West of Loathing, or I'll go work on my gauntlets, or
What's West of Loathing?
It's a Kingdom of Loathing spinoff.
What's that?
Kingdom of Loathing was an online point-and-click adventure game.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about it next time on...
Okay. But for now, we've decided that Kendrick doesn't like more things, and I am... gleefully ignorant of all the things that are
still
bad in the world.
Easily entertained.
Yes, that one. Thank you. All right, bye, everybody.
That's been on you.
Like, subscribe, and comment and stuff.
Yep. Do the thing.